Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Gustav Mahler and the Symphony That Swallowed the World.
Shh. Listen. Can you hear it?
A single note, thin as a spider's web, hanging in the air. It's the sound of the world's very first morning, before the sun has even opened its eyes. Somewhere in the Austrian mountains, there's a tiny wooden hut, so small that only a piano and a desk can fit inside. The walls creak in the wind. Pine trees whisper outside the window. And inside that hut, a man named Gustav Mahler is trying to do something impossible. He's trying to fit the whole world onto a piece of paper. Tonight, we're going to visit that little hut and discover how one man swallowed every sound he ever heard and turned it into music. But before we can understand what Gustav was writing in that mountain hut, we need to go back. Back to when he was just a little boy. Gustav Mahler was born in 1860 in a town called Iglau. And in Iglau, silence simply didn't exist. Gustav lived so close to the soldiers' barracks that the brass trumpets made the milk in his breakfast bowl ripple. He could feel the thump, thump, thump of parade drums vibrating through the soles of his shoes before he even saw the red uniforms marching down the street. And when the soldiers weren't practicing, there was the town square, packed with fiddlers playing dance tunes so lively that people couldn't help stamping their boots on the wooden floorboards. Stomp, 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 stomp. Church bells ringing, wedding bands playing, funeral processions passing slowly through the streets. The whole town was an orchestra, playing day and night. Most children might have covered their ears, but little Gustav? He pressed his face against the cold window pane and listened to everything. Now, I want you to listen for something special in the next piece of music. Imagine a village dance. Peasants in their best clothes, spinning around a wooden floor. Can you picture it? Listen for the bounce. One, two, three. One, two, three. Like the whole orchestra is stamping its feet along with the dancers. And listen for how the melody gets passed around, like villagers taking turns in the middle of the dance floor. First the violins, then the winds, then back again. Ready? Here come the dancers. Those swirling rhythms, that stomping beat, that's exactly what Gustav heard in the village squares of Bohemia as a little boy. And decades later, sitting alone in his tiny mountain hut, He could still hear it perfectly. Gustav once said something that sounds almost impossible. He said, "A symphony must be like the world. It must contain everything." Everything. The joy of dancing and the sorrow of funerals. Birdsong at dawn and thunder at midnight. The tramp of soldiers' boots and the gentlest lullaby a mother ever hummed. Most composers write music about one feeling. But Mahler? He wanted to capture the whole world. Every sound he'd ever heard, every feeling he'd ever felt, and squeeze it all into his symphonies. Remember those soldiers near his childhood home? Listen to what happened when Mahler grew up and put them in his music.
In this next piece, you'll hear a trumpet calling out alone, like a bugle waking up a sleeping army camp. Then the drums will answer, heavy and slow. But this isn't a cheerful parade anymore. Mahler took those childhood sounds and filled them with something deeper, something that makes you feel the weight of life itself. Listen for the trumpet's lonely call, then the drums creeping in behind. The same trumpets, the same drums, but now they're not just sounds, they're memories, feelings, stories without words. You see, Mahler didn't just remember sounds with his ears, he remembered them with his heart. And when he put them in his symphonies, sitting in that tiny wooden hut, they carried all the feelings he'd ever felt while hearing them. But the soldiers weren't the only sounds hiding in Gustav's memory. There was also the forest.
Listen very closely now. High up in the music, tiny chirps are fluttering. Can you catch them? Those are birds, real birdsong that Mahler heard outside his composing hut, written down note by note. And there, a hunting horn, calling across misty valleys. It echoes and waits for an answer that never quite comes. This isn't music trapped in a concert hall. This is music that lives in a forest at the edge of dawn, when the whole world is still half asleep and full of secrets. Mahler caught these sounds like butterflies in a net and released them into his symphony. ¶¶
Now, here's something important about Gustav Mahler. During most of the year, he wasn't a composer at all. He was a conductor. Mahler stood in front of the greatest orchestras in Europe, waving his baton night after night, bringing other people's music to life. First in Budapest, then Hamburg, then the glittering city of Vienna itself. But conducting is exhausting. When you're busy shaping 100 musicians every night, there's no time left to write your own music. So Mahler made a rule. Every summer, when the opera house closed its doors, he would escape to the mountains, to that tiny wooden cabin we visited at the beginning of our story. The Komponierhäuschen, people called it. The little composing hut. Just big enough for a piano and a desk. Pine trees pressing close against the windows. A lake glittering nearby. And there, in those precious summer weeks, Gustav would pour an entire year of feelings onto paper, writing furiously from dawn until the dinner bell rang, trying to fit the whole world into music before autumn came and pulled him back to the city.
In this next piece, the orchestra almost disappears. Just strings and a harp remain, playing music so tender it almost aches to hear.
Mahler wrote this as a love letter, not with words, but with notes. A message to his wife, Alma, saying things too precious and too complicated for ordinary language. Listen for how the melody floats, like it's afraid to touch the ground. Mahler believed that music could express feelings that were too big, too deep, too tangled for ordinary words. That's why he didn't just write pretty sounds to fill up silence. He wrote journeys, adventures of the heart. His symphonies grab you by the hand and pull you through storms and sunshine, through fears and hopes, through darkness and light. And one of his cleverest tricks was something called orchestration. Think of it this way. If a symphony is a whole world, then the instruments are the people and animals and winds who live there. Orchestration is Mahler deciding who gets to speak at each moment. If a melody needs to sound lonely, he doesn't give it to the whole orchestra. He gives it to one single shivering oboe. If it needs to feel like distant mountains, he calls on the French horn. If it needs to shimmer like sunlight through leaves,
He lets the violins sing together, high and soft. The same melody can feel completely different just by changing who plays it. That's the magic.
Now I want to show you Mahler's most amazing trick. He's going to take a song you know, a happy little melody, and drag it into the shadows. Do you know Frère Jacques? The song about Brother John who's sleeping. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping, Brother John, Brother John? It's a bright, bouncy tune, right? Perfect for skipping down a sunny path. But Mahler did something strange. He slowed it down. Way, way down. And he gave it to the lowest instrument in the orchestra, the double bass. That big, growling instrument that sounds like a giant clearing his throat. Suddenly, the happy song isn't happy anymore. It's heavy. It plods like feet walking through deep snow. The notes are the same, but the feeling has completely changed. This is called transformation. Mahler took a song about sleeping and turned it into a song about never waking up. Listen for the double bass, low and alone, playing that familiar melody as if remembering something from long, long ago. Same notes, the same melody, but dressed in shadows instead of sunlight. Mahler imagined animals from an old picture book carrying a hunter through a dark forest. A strange funeral procession, half sad and half dreamlike. That's the power of transformation, keeping the bones of a song but changing its soul. And this brings us to the most important thing about Mahler's symphonies. They don't just have happy endings or sad endings. They have earned endings. What does earned mean? It means the music has to fight to get there. It stumbles through dark forests. It gets knocked down by storms. It wanders through valleys so lonely, you think it might never find its way home. Listen now. The music is struggling. You can hear it straining, pushing against something heavy, like climbing a mountain in a thunderstorm. But it doesn't give up. It keeps climbing. And when the triumphant ending finally arrives, when the brass blazes and the whole orchestra sings, you feel like you have been on the journey too. You've earned that ending, right alongside the music. Gustav Mahler left us 9 complete symphonies, 9 giant treasure chests full of the whole world. Village dances from Bohemia, soldiers' trumpets at dawn, birds singing in mountain forests, love letters without words, storms that shake the heavens, and triumphant endings that feel like the sun finally breaking through the clouds. All of it born in that tiny wooden hut in the mountains, where one man sat alone with a piano and tried to fit everything he'd ever felt onto paper. So tonight, as you close your eyes, imagine your own little hut. A cozy place where all your memories live. The happy ones and the sad ones. The loud ones and the quiet ones. They're all part of your world. And just like Gustav Mahler, you can learn to listen to the sounds around you, to the feelings inside you. And maybe someday, you'll find your own way to share them. Sweet dreams, and listen well.